Amen. Amen. Aleluya. Aleluya. Amen. Aleluya. Amen. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need more of God and less of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord will help me with the way I feel to get to seal what the Spirit of the Lord was saying to us last Sunday, to give us some practical understanding on how to experience not just victory this year, but to have good testimonies. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that in the natural, if you are just somebody's just an average citizen, and he's just an average citizen, and in England, and then you have a level of lifestyle, you have a level of lifestyle as an average citizen, you have a level of income, you have a level of security in your life, if you get into trouble, you have a level of security, how you deal with it. So as an average citizen in England, your influence level and your capacity to expect things have a level as just a citizen. So what if, I'm just asking naturally, what if the King of England or the Queen of England, the family, adopts you with full legal rights to be part of the queen's family? Do you believe that there will be some significant difference in your level of influence? Do you believe that there will be some significant difference in your how you deal with problems? Because now, if you were at this level, and at this level, that's how you see the problems, that's how you deal with problems, that's how you approach finances, that's how you approach everything at this level. So now, you get adopted into the king's family. Amen? I'm just talking naturally now, so you can understand some spiritual things. You get adopted into the queen's family. So they are not just an average family. They rule over England. They have jurisdiction over the security, over the finances, over everything. Amen? So they adopt you from an average citizen, and they bring you into this capacity of influence. Do you, in the natural, do you think the way you live here and the way you finally come here to live, do you think there should be some changes? Is somebody here? Do you think your influence here and the way life is here and what you see and the way you see life here will be different from the way you see life here? There should be some difference, isn't it? If you were seeing things here, let's say you were just living in that 1,000 level in money, you will approach things through that mindset. If somebody gives you problems, you know, you deal with it with the court or with the police, you're just a normal citizen. You approach things with a level of insecurity. But when you get adopted to this place, do you know that you've been adopted to this place with a completely different influence, different financial capacity, different level of operation, live totally a different paradigm of thinking? Amen? But here's what the Bible says. In the book of Galatians chapter 4, I'm preparing to explain what we were saying last week. I was just a normal citizen here. I have established a mindset, how I see things, how I deal with things, how I approach my needs. And that's the level, the capacity I'm used to. Do you know that when I'm adopted into the Queen's family here, you will not believe this. Do you know I'm already adopted here? I'm already legally part of the King's lineage. Every provision, everything around this kingdom, I'm under that bloodline now. I've inherited that privilege. Do you know that if I keep the way I used to think here, if I keep it here, I will still live like I'm there. I will still approach every problem of my life like I'm there. I have the kings behind me. I have the kingdom behind me. I have the blood behind me. Everything about England, I'm at the top. But do you know that if I don't change it, I'm here, but I still live there. When we get born again, something has happened. Amen? When we get born again, this natural example I gave to you is even small. When we get born again, we go from a nature, a lifestyle, a condition that the Bible considers completely limited, bondage, flesh, all the stuff that has been heaped on it in the world. The culture, the identity of the world, the identity of class, the identity of colors, the identity of mindsets, the identity of thinking. Everything that this world and the problems and the thinking and the division and the classification and the declassification, everything this world says and lives by is embodied in the flesh. Amen? And our mindset, the way we see things, our image of life has been defined based on where you grew up, based on the school you went to, based on the parents you have, based on the friends you have, based on the people that has influenced you. You have developed, unknown to you, a culture mindset that governs the rest of your life while you live here before you get born again. Your class is already defined. The way you see things is already defined. How you approach things is already defined. Everything is already a culture that runs your life, the course of your life, before we get born again. Amen? The way we see things. So, when we get born again, everybody say born again. Say born again. When we get born again, something happened. Amen? Something happened. Better than if a normal citizen here being adopted by the king. Something major happened. Let me tell you what happened. The moment we got born again, we were really born again. Though, now that we are born again, it's no more this physical person with a physical image, living in a physical world, with the culture of the world, with the standard of the world, with the mindset of the world, and classification levels of the world. It's not just that. All of a sudden, we're born again. Here's what this born again did to us. We're now adopted into a royal kingdom. But this kingdom makes the Queen of England look like nothing. Because this kingdom has no limitation. This kingdom rules over the spiritual, the natural. And this kingdom has no limit to power, no limit to anything. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, if you're following the illustration, this kingdom came from heaven and is Jesus. Amen? So, Jesus manifested, God in the flesh, is this kingdom. Amen? Now, I want you to follow me because we don't have a lot of time and I want us to get this principle. And the whole reason the Lord is sharing this with us is you will leave 2019 with a level, a different mindset. The level to which your mind is renewed to your true identity in Christ is the level to which you enter into victory. So, here's the spiritual kingdom. If you're born again, you are in the kingdom already. And it's a royal kingdom. Amen? Now, what happens? Here we are in the flesh as humans. Whether you're born in Africa or born in Asia or born in Malaysia, born in America. The culture, the system, the predisposition of the ways of society has given us an image. And that image, based on how much you have fought in life, you have your image of who you are, your identity. Amen? So, this identity, when you face obstacles, when you face challenges, this identity will make you either go up or you go down. Amen? This identity can cause a lot of misery or a lot of happiness. Because the identity has placed a limitation on your ability to be happy or to be sad. So, that's the identity we have. So now that God, in his infinite wisdom, has already condemned this identity as limited and has... Satan has capacity to influence it. Amen? So God himself decided to come and adopt us to give us a new identity. Amen? So here's what is happening. Here's what Christianity is. Here's what is important for us to learn about 2019. We take this old identity. We've been adopted Remember, the physical guy, average person, adopted into the Queen of England's place, if his mind is not changed, he doesn't know who he is in the kingdom. The spiritual guy, that's me and you, here, maybe I'm a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're this, whatever you are, studied, culture of the world already gives us an image. So here we are. We still take this same image, this identity, and we use the identity and we operate in a kingdom identity with the old identity we have. We come out of an image here. Your image is your identity. You come out of your image here. You've already been adopted, but you already have an image of yourself. You already have an identity of yourself. Now you come into a royal kingdom. You come into the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God. Now, look at the natural. You're now in the palace of the Queen of England, in the natural. You are now being adopted there. But you are living in the king's palace in England with the old identity in the same palace. We are born again, but because we are human, because we have been characterized by so many, the image we have in the world, we are in the kingdom. But guess the image we live in the kingdom with? Our old image. Our old identity. So we come out of here where we're bound, we're slaves, we're limited, we have so many things against us in this world. Somebody's a rich man. Your identity, you compare it to a rich man, he said, I'm poor. You compare it to I'm sick. Your identity classifies you in the world system. It gives you a place where you belong. This is your class. This, that. And we struggle through life with that image. Now, God did all these things, came and said, I'm bringing you a brand new identity. My own identity, I'm putting it in you. I am the Son of God. I came from a royal kingdom. All authority, all power, all resources, the earth is mine and stuff. So all this stuff belongs to my kingdom. And I adopt you and give you my image. And I put it inside of you and inside of you. Now you come to this kingdom. Somebody say, who are you? You know who you tell them? They say, you tell them, I am this poor man, I'm this sick man, I'm this miserable man, this bondage man, I'm this person that don't have this, don't have that, don't have this, or I'm a millionaire, or I'm a doctor, or I'm a billionaire, or I'm all these things. We classify where we are, what has happened to us, where we've been. We present that as our image after we've been adopted. What is transformation? Transformation is this. Yes, I live in this world. Yes, I had an image I grew up with. Yes, I have a culture I came from. Yes, I have a nation. Yes, I went to school or I didn't go to school. Yes, I had this problem. Yes, I didn't have this problem. Yes, reality is here in the flesh. But now I've been adopted in my spirit into a kingdom that has all the solutions, all the answers, everything I need. What happens now is this. The only way I can change my identity and let the reality of my adoption take effect in my life in this world is for me to find what the identity that I've been given, adopted with. I need to find that identity, that image, and I need to keep it before me. And I need to look at it. I need to watch. I need to look at it until that old, that new identity changes who I used to be. Until that image, that identity changes who I have always been, who I thought I am, the reality I have lived in as an identity. If that identity does not change this identity, you never change your capacity and your influence. You'll be in church for 30 years. You go to heaven, but you never influence anything. Until you change your identity, until you change your image of who you are, you cannot experience the paradigm of your new adopted kingdom. You still live within the arena of the struggles of this world. Or else, Jesus rose and came in vain. If our lives cannot be upgraded from the limitations that a doctor faces, a lawyer faces, a president faces, a poor man, a rich man, if our lives cannot be upgraded to live above the capacity of how they deal with things to the capacity of my new adoption, then Christianity is in vain. Amen? Amen? Because of, I like illustration. Very soon I'll read to you. I'm talking about Joshua chapter 1. The Lord was showing me this year, a change has come. A new season has come. But you can't enter that new season with the old mindset. You can't possess the things I have for you in your promised land with that old mindset. I want you to quickly, I want to use illustration really quickly. I'm so glad Coca is not here, but I have Coca's son. Jeremy, come. Amen. Amen. Everybody say, praise God for Jeremy. Amen. Okay, Jeremy, stand here really quick. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Let me use... sir, come. Amen. You are the only sir here. You shouldn't... Come on. Amen. I want to do this really quick. Amen? Amen. Okay. This is one image. This is another image. Do they look alike? Jeremy is a white man. He's a black man. Amen? Amen? Okay. Okay. All right. Two different image. Amen? Okay. This guy has an image already all his life growing up as a man. Amen? He gets adopted, born again. This born again, come and stand over here. This is the born again man. This is the old image. This is the new image. Amen? Now, the old image, the flesh man, everything he is limited to this world. And the only way Jeremy lives here, I mean, if you have a driver's license, you have a driver's license, okay, good. That's his identity. Amen? His picture is there, his image, everything, and his life is there in his social security. So now Jeremy gets born again. And this is who he is in the spirit. But who he is in the spirit is a royal kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. He has a totally different capacity of influence. It has a totally different heavenly mindset. He has victory, he's prevailed, everything is. Amen? So this man lives inside Jeremy. Amen? So now, Jeremy is now in this kingdom. Amen? And Jeremy is still thinking like this. Still living like this. Still operating like this. But he's in the kingdom of God. He's connected. He has God in him. He has a new identity. He has everything about his, but he's still living this way in the kingdom of God. So it's difficult for him to be free from bondage. It's difficult for him to be free from condemnation. It's difficult for him to be free from, the things that we struggle with, as long as he's still thinking he's Jeremy. Amen? Now, this is who he is. This is the identity that Christ has come to give to him. And now this Christ is inside of him. This is the image God died to give to him. This is his new image. This is the one that has power, is greater. This is the one that Jeremy is. But in Jeremy's mind, he's still living that way, even though he has this person. Now, what happens is this. Transformation. Transformation is this. Jeremy has to bring this person in front of him. Amen? I want you to watch this. This is Jeremy in the flesh. This is Jeremy in the spirit. Amen? This guy is unstoppable. He's a son of God. He's a man God is already giving victory. This is who Jeremy is in the spirit. But Jeremy is this in the flesh. So I want you to watch this. In the flesh, Jeremy, come stand here. In the flesh, stay away. In the flesh, you see Jeremy in the flesh? Okay. In the flesh, I'm a natural mirror. If Jeremy looks at me in the natural mirror, who will he see? Huh? He will see himself. Are you following me? I'm a mirror in the natural. If Jeremy looks at me in the mirror, who will he see? Women, you use mirror a lot. Who do you see in the mirror? You see yourself in the mirror. Okay. I know some men don't look at mirror, but women look at mirror all the time. Okay. Now, this is a physical mirror. I'm a physical mirror. When Jeremy looks at the physical mirror, he sees the image of who he is in the natural. That's Jeremy's identity to the world. That's Jeremy's identity to human beings. That's who Jeremy is. That's who he sees in the physical mirror. Now, Jeremy, stand where you are. This is who Jeremy is in the spirit. Amen? When Jeremy comes now to the kingdom, Jeremy, come over here. When Jeremy looks at, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, he says, we behold him as in a mirror. Amen? When we behold him, 2 Corinthians, we behold him as in a mirror. And we are changed by the Spirit of the Lord from glory to glory. Into what? Into his image. The same image. Amen? Now, this is who Jeremy is in the spirit. But because this is in the spirit and Jeremy is physical, this is the Bible. Amen? So when Jeremy reads the Bible is a mirror. Who is the Bible revealing to you? Who is the Bible revealing to you? How many of you are here? Who is the Bible revealing to you? Jesus. Amen? And that image of Jesus is what is written here. Who he is. And what that image thinks like, acts like, walks like, everything about that image is written here. So this is all about Jesus, the Word of God, the beginning of the Word. So this is a mirror, James says, when you look at the perfect law of liberty. 2 Corinthians says, when you behold him as in a mirror. This is the word of God. Amen? This is the mirror. This is spiritual mirror. The physical mirror is okay for Jeremy to see himself. Now, if you're looking at the spiritual mirror and Jeremy is seeing himself, what does that mean? If Jeremy is looking at the mirror, this man is inside of him already. This is Jesus. He's reading the Bible. He's looking at the spiritual mirror. And he's seeing himself. He's seeing himself. Physical mirror, I'm okay. But spiritual mirror, he's seeing himself. What is it? How many of you know? The Bible calls it unbelief. When God says this is who you are, and the Bible is describing to you who you are, the fact that you are inside of him, and because you don't see this person physically, and you're still assuming that you are this image, is unbelief. Unbelief is you are completely not walking by faith. You are still living in your old image even when you have a new image. You are still saying that this is who you are when God says this is who you are. The Bible becomes storytelling to you. The Bible just becomes head knowledge to you. Every time you look at the Bible and you don't see who you are inside of it, that's unbelief. This Bible tells you who you are. When Jeremy looks at this Bible, he's reading the story about the person that lives inside of him. He's up there, but he died and gave us his very image and likeness. So Paul says, as I look at the Bible, as I read the Bible, as I behold him, I see Jesus. And the moment I see him and I begin to apply what I'm seeing and not just walk away. He said, he that walks away forgets what it looks like, being a forgetful hearer, not a doer of the word, in James. He forgets who he is and keeps saying he's this, when God just showed you who you are. So now, Jeremy keeps this image of himself and is still living as this insect. It's the same thing, just wait. It's the same thing I was saying. He has left this place as a human. He lives in the king's palace, but his mind is not changed. His image has not changed. He cannot influence anything above the standard he was living in. There is no change. He's just living there in church. He's just coming to church. He's just saying he's a believer. You're in the king palace. You're going to go to heaven. But there is no shift. There is no transformation to the image that really defines your new capacity to make a difference. So, I want to show you what happens when we deal with issues. Let them stay there. Just stay there. That's the new Jeremy. That's the old Jeremy. Amen? Let me read something to you quickly. In the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13. You can read this later. I want to read really quickly from verse 30. The Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. But the men that went up with him, the other 10 spies that went up with him, said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came out of the giants. And listen to this, their image. We were in our eyes. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight. Your image. Listen to this. I told you the story. These people came out of Egypt. We're in the world. We came out of the world. Now, they are here in the kingdom, out of Egypt. This is the spirit man. This is the flesh man. There's a promise for 2019. God has sent them. So, Moses sent the 12 spies to go look at what God has for them in 2019. It was a promised land. So, when they got to the promised land, 10 of them were still seeing things from this direction. And when they looked at the promise God gave to them, God has already promised them what God has for you in 2019. This is how they looked at it. I'm not going to make it. It's too much problems. Too much this. Too much that. We can't. It's just going to, my situation will be the same. I don't see how this thing will change. It's mountainous. It's too big. It's too great. I don't see a way out of it. It's not just going to be possible. Because he's looking at it from the mindset of a failure, limitation. I can't do it. It's not going to be possible. There's so much giant. There's so much mountain. I'm not qualified for it. It's not going to be work. It's not going to work. So now, that's his mindset. That's his image. But Joshua and Caleb, they saw the same thing. You can come this way. Now, this is the spirit man. Huh? This is the flesh man. He looked at the promise in 2019 with the eyes of where it's coming from, with the old image. And all he sees is himself and his incapacity, his own qualification, his inability compared to the giants. That in the place God is saying, I'm giving you a breakthrough. I'm taking you through this. I will make a way where there's no way. I can do it. I am God. I can change things for your sake. I can change protocols. I can make things happen. He can't believe it because the system says it's not going to happen. It's over. Man says it's over. Everything he looks in the natural is impossible. But here is Joshua and Caleb. Their identity have changed. They came out of the same Egypt, but they don't see themselves with the old image. They understand their new image. They have a new image, and that image is built on the promise, on the word that God gave them. When they looked, the spirit man looked, he wasn't seeing the physical. He was seeing the spiritual. He was seeing the influence of the kingdom. He was seeing the provisions of the kingdom. He was seeing the capacity of the kingdom. And he says, you know what? Let's go right now and possess what God said. But this man in the natural was always looking at what the devil can do, what Satan capacity, what Satan has ability to do, what Satan has done to me, what society has done to me, what I'm limited, what I cannot do. And this man is seeing God has done, what God can do, who I live, I'm above this now, I'm above that. So this is what faith is. Faith is the ability, because this guy is hidden, faith is the ability for you to live your life, to make your decision through the eyes and the life of this person than this person. You live in the world, that's true. You operate in the world, that's true. But this person gives you the capacity to live above the level of the world. So when you live and maintain your lifestyle by this person that you don't see, and you live by this identity that you don't see, that's when the Bible says you're walking by faith. Because this is really who God says you are. This is what Jesus has given. This is what Jesus has done. But we ignore it and keep living by this. That's unbelief. Faith is, I know I'm here, but this is who I really am. And this is who I'm going to walk by. That's why you can say thank you. By the way, when Jeremy is walking by faith, hold this guy's hands. When Jeremy walks by faith, you know what it means to walk by faith? You lead him wherever you want to go. Lead him that way. Lead him the other way. And then lead him back here. Lead him back here. Do you know what it means to walk by faith? It's when Jeremy let this guy lead the way. This guy, when he leads the way, because he's led by the Spirit, those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. When this guy leads the way, that's what the Bible means, you're walking by faith. You know why? Because Jeremy allowing this guy to lead the way is living through an invisible nature. And this nature is totally controlled by God. So he had to trust God to allow this person to be in charge. But you know what unbelief is? This guy is here. This guy lives. Jeremy, take him wherever you want to go. That's unbelief. You're carrying the Holy Ghost everywhere. You're carrying the born again person everywhere. Amen? And then, when you face obstacle, you cry out for him. Amen? Yeah, you can be seated. Thank you. Joshua chapter 1 says, from verse 6, be strong and be of good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Basically, this is what God is telling Joshua. Moses just died. And God now says, you're going into your promised land. 2008 just passed. God says, you're going into 2019. And God told Joshua the secret of success. And this is the secret. He told Joshua, Jeremy is a flesh man, isn't it? He said, Joshua, there is a reason why people never possess their promise. There's a reason why people never have testimonies. There's a reason why, I mean supernatural testimonies. I'm not talking about what you can do in your strength. There's a reason why I went to 2018 and lost some battles. There's a reason why I went 2018 and never possessed some things. But in 2019 is different. What is the reason? He says, there is, as long as we live in this world, there is this obstacle called man and called the devil. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to make you weak. He's going to try everything to make you challenge him and walk in Jeremy's physical strength. He's going to try to make you depend completely on your flesh, your ability, your human nature to achieve spiritual things in 2018. He said there's a reason, Joshua, why you need to be strong, you need to be courageous, you need to, there's a reason for that. Because if you're not strong, you're not courageous, you will not get the people there. Turn not to the left or the right. If you're distracted, there's a reason people get distracted, you not get there. So he gave Joshua the solution. And this is the solution, the practical solution. He said, this book, this word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, night and day, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. What God was telling Joshua is this, exactly the illustration I gave to you, but this is how it works. Said, Joshua, I have given Moses, passed down from generation, a promise. It is my word. I've given it to Moses. Moses has given it to you. He's given it to you. It's written down. You've had it. He says, Joshua, you see what I promised you and who I say you are. You have to meditate on it day and night. What does that mean, meditate? He says, you must let the image that I said you are, circumcision, covenant, son of Abraham, covenant promise, I've given you the promised land. It's a land full of milk and honey, but there are giants in it. I've given it. Let that promise, let the image I've given to you stay before you like a mirror. And stay before you until it becomes who you are on the inside. Because who you are on the inside is what will come out of your mouth under pressure. You cannot, when a mountain stands before you, when obstacles stand before you, you can never tell them to move if you feel insecure. If you feel you're Jeremy in the flesh. The spirit, he says, when you meditate, when you focus on this mirror, eventually you will not see the physical Jeremy anymore. You start seeing the spiritual man inside of you. And what is inside of you only comes out when there is pressure. So when there is pressure, if Christ is not there, if your image is not that of the Son of God, when pressure comes, guess what pressure does? You start seeing from your old image. All you see is the giant. All you see is the obstacle. And guess what? You confess exactly what they said to the whole Israel. We cannot do it. The Bible says they brought an evil report. Discouraged the whole crowd. Moses started crying. Why did the discouragement come? Because the image they carried from Egypt is the same image they still think they are. Joshua and Caleb have been meditating on this thing, and this is what they believe now. So when they faced the pressure, they said, they saw it through who is in them, and they said, if God said it, let's go for it. If you believe with your heart, that's what will come out of your mouth, in prayer and when you face obstacles. Does it happen overnight? No way. It happens. That's why it says, meditate day and night. What is meditation? Do not believe what you see physically in the mirror. What you see in the mirror could have been abuse. People have lied against you. People have said this against you. You never amount to anything. You can't make it. You were raised with an image that was absolutely negative. God has changed that. God says you are more than conqueror. You are a winner. You are a victor. You are a child of God. You have the royal priesthood. The righteousness you carry is of God. You are a lion on the inside. Greater is he that is in you. God has given you capacity to be a winner, to face challenges, to face obstacles. But that is only when this goes from your head to your heart. And it comes from looking at this mirror, so much so that you start believing that you are really this, not this. That's what Christianity is all about. Amen? So God told Joshua, you're not going to get into that land if the image you carry, this is how you're going to get to the land. You will speak this word. You will repeat what I said. You will always repeat what I said, but you can't repeat it if it's not in your heart, if it's not who you are. Amen? So how does it begin? Transformation begins with a process of meditating on this. It goes into your head as knowledge, and as you pray the word, you wait on the word. You say, okay, I got a little bit of it. God says, okay, you got a little bit. I'm going to put pressure around you. I'm going to test you with some problems. The only way you know how far you've grown in the Lord is based on the problems you go through and how you deal with them. Pressure is the only way you test who you are. Other than pressure, all of us are sweet Christian, happy, wonderful, dance. When pressure comes, you know how far you have this in you. Pressure is the test that grows our faith. What is faith? Faith simply is, pressure is what lets you know if you're going to live by this guy or live by this guy. Amen? So, I shared this to you because the Lord started dealing with me about identity a few years now. I didn't understand. I talked about faith. I didn't understand. He talked about faith. I didn't understand it. So the Lord started this last year, transitioning to this year, started telling me, he says, you're going to stop. I didn't understand what he meant by that. He said, I'm calling you to rest. I'm calling you to rest. I won't paint all the picture to you right now, but I started finding out what it means to labor into rest. Is for you to do what it takes to shift your identity until you know. Not somebody telling you, not in your head. No, you know that you know this is who you are. Even though you put on this, nobody can take this is who you are. When you really get to know that this is who you are, you rest. Because this person is a ruler. This person cannot lack, never lose a battle. This person lives above natural circumstances. Whether the situation changes or not, he does not take his peace away. This person is not moved by pride. This person is not moved by lust. He's not moved. This person is Jesus, bringing us to that freedom that he promised. So, my brothers and sisters, based on the understanding and revelation of this person, as we begin to practice this faith walk in 2019, you'll be amazed at the victory. You'll be amazed at the things you overcome and the more testimonies you have. That is what we call Christianity, Christ-like beings. Christ-natured beings. Not 10,000 people dancing and one devil comes in their midst, everybody runs away. Amen? I told you I don't like sharing testimonies, but 2019, let us arm ourselves. Let us begin to, by faith, say, I am a child of God. That's true. It's not hypocrisy. It's not a lie. That's who you are. Amen? I only share one testimony when I really realize the reality of this. As humans, we all eat pizza and play and do stuff. But when pressure comes, it's not the pizza person that comes out. It's a different person. Just like this morning, things were not going the way we ought to go. In the flesh, you call it disappointment. But in the spirit, I say, God, turn this situation to celebration. Every time things go out of normal, the flesh gets disappointed and it knocks you out. If you switch it a little bit to the spirit, you change the circumstance and make it positive. You make all things work together for good. You turn your disappointments into an opportunity by the spirit. But if I stay in the flesh, man, I'll be disappointed. It just throws everything out of normal. But if you switch to the spirit, man, you change the circumstance. You detect to it and you turn it around. I was driving the other day. I told you put the story one time. And a guy that I had an experience with called me and said, please, I want you to go somewhere with me. He drove me there, told you all the story. I walked into that place. You know, I don't share this testimony for me, really. If I share testimonies with you, you would think it's a lie. He's just telling stories. I walked into that place. It was a witch's coven. They were having witchcraft. They were practicing witchcraft. They were doing evil things there. They were worshiping the devil. But it did not change my expression, my attitude. All I did was switch who walked into that room from the flesh man to the spirit man. When you switch it, it's like turning this light from turning it off and turning it on. Immediately I went from Jeremy to that guy and I sat in that room with having that image in my mind. And when you have that image in your mind, you've changed your atmosphere. And at the end of that day, their leader eventually got saved. Everything they did didn't work. So God is not saying we will not face crisis. Especially when we don't have money. If you don't have money, don't let money dictate your circumstance. Sometimes we can be tested when we don't have money. But we should not be worried when we don't have money. The key God is trying to find out in that situation is your peace. Jesus didn't have money to pay tax. He is the ruler of money. But in the flesh, he wanted to teach us that God wants to do supernatural things sometimes. Peter, we don't have money to pay tax. They hold Jesus and his account can't pay tax. And he said, Peter, listen, let's go. Go catch some fish and come back. We'll pay that tax. What is more supernatural? Peter and John says, we don't have money. You're begging us money. We don't have money. But let me tell you what I have. You're going to stop begging from this day. They changed the beggar to somebody now that is able to walk. So when we are limited, we don't have enough money to feed 5,000 or 4,000 people. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Should I be focusing on that I don't have money, or do you want to do a miracle about the situation? I don't have money to pay my fees. Do I really need the physical money, or I need an encounter, a voice from the Lord? What am I to do to change the situation? No matter what we're going through, God has a different level to deal with that situation than we think. So whenever we don't have what we're looking for, the miracle in the flesh, God is doing something else that we need to find out what he's doing. Amen? Let me tell you something before I sit down. I have a friend in this room. She will not mind me saying this. Let me be honest with you. I have a friend. I use the word a friend because she'll forgive me. You see that girl called Abby there? She's not crippled. She's not using walking stick. She's not. That thing is going to change overnight one of these days. Then what is that? If God takes that walking stick, takes that thing from her a few years before now, Abby will just be a normal human being. Abby's mind does not see that. Abby takes more people to places, walks with more people, moves around 3 a.m. in the morning, 2 a.m., climbs. She does things that normal human beings cannot do. Do you think that's a limitation? She's living beyond the natural. She's living a supernatural life. She has no limitation in her mind. But some people have cars, they have everything, but they are limited. They can't help one person. They feel so. It's like, where do you want me to take you again? And when do you want to go again? Oh, I have something. In their mind, they have no ability, capacity to influence people. But Abi will drive people rain, shine, winter, snow, any time of the day. Do you think it has to do with what you see? No, that's a spirit man working. God can change that overnight. But God wanted to develop a spirit man first. So that some of us are physical miracles, but inside we are shallow Christians. So don't use what you have not seen physically as a limitation. Use God as your capacity, as a son of God. And find out, God, if I don't have this, what are you teaching me? What are you where are you taking me? How do you want to feed the 5,000? This man begging money, maybe it's not money he needs. He needs to walk again. So that's the only the spirit man can lead us in this direction. Amen? Father, give us, oh God, understanding of who we are. 2019 is full of challenges. But when challenges come, that's when your children thrive. That's when we win. It was through challenges Joseph became the wealthiest, the most influential person in Egypt. Father, help us, oh God, to begin to not only acknowledge our identity to be true, but give us the ability to start changing our mind and living in who we really are and not who we are not. So we can be called among those in Hebrews 11 that while we lived on this earth, we walked by faith and not by sight. Let everything that has been said today activate, oh God, a new paradigm in our heart to walk with you. In Jesus' name.